That's okay. Too many changes. There are times of the year when people find them just hard to cope with. Post-Christmas can be hard to cope with. You've had hype for the whole month, if not more, to build up to Christmas, and then Boxing Day is done, dusted, and you're packing it away. And people get a wee bit down, a wee bit blue in that season. New Year can be the same. You get to the new year and you think, oh no, another one. The last one wasn't great. Is this one going to be any better? But you can also get it at different times of the year too. Summer holidays, after the summer holidays, were always difficult. We'd go away with the family. This is in my previous job, when I had a real job, as I put it. You'd come back from a few weeks off and you think, oh, your entry is taller than you are. And it's like, here we go, back in the drudge of everything. Getting back into routine of things can be a challenge. The celebrations or breaks that we enjoy are replaced with a more subdued atmosphere. Many suffer from a dose of the blues. Not significant, but just they're there. But as Christians, such things shouldn't touch us, should they? We're always meant to be happy, aren't we? I had a supervisor who used to say to me repeatedly, "Stuart, smile." I'm going, there's nothing I can do with my face. This is the way my face is. I'm not going to go on like that because it's not real. This is just the face that God has given me. Please just get used to it. We shouldn't always be happy. We can't always be happy. We are as human as the next person, the person we pass in the street. And we can experience anything that anyone else does. And when we read the psalm as a whole, an expression of the whole of human experience and existence, all the emotions are there in raw honesty. So this series is going to touch on some of those themes and hopefully remind us of the God-given resources that we have at our disposals, not to avoid the difficult times, but to face them and get through them. Now, with these themes, there might be a series of overlaps, but I'm hoping it's going to not be too repetitive. We're going to be sitting in the Psalms for all but one of this series. And we have to be reminded of their distinctiveness, what they are. The Psalms, as we know, are poems or songs that were used in Jewish worship. They have a shape and a form all of their own. Many have what we call an ABCBA shape. They start with the complaint, A. Then it gets worse, B. Then there's relief in the middle, C. And then at the end, it repeats what A and B did, but backwards, B, A. So it seems that you end up going full circle. You never get out of the loop. That's obviously a very simplistic expression. Many are far more complicated than that. But for a basic understanding, that I think will do us for today. This psalm that we heard today, or it was originally one psalm that somehow got split into two, but really should be one, is the first psalm that's attributed to someone other than David and marks the start of what is known as the second book, of which there are five in the book of Psalms. So that's kind of where we're starting. They have similar themes, phrases between 42, 43 that make people think that there really shouldn't be a break between them. Why? We don't know. Within the Psalms, there is no source or reason as to why the author is feeling blue, why they're down in the dumps. Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul within me? I think that's the older version, but you know what I'm trying to say. Why are you cast down, my soul? In that toxic idea that Christians should always be happy, we are in danger of missing the reality of life, because life is not always happy. If we were to be perpetually happy, how could we minister to those who are struggling? This is not to say that we have to always, everyone, experience everything that anybody else has ever had to be enduring. That would be overwhelming, so we're not saying that. But in the body of Christ, that's the church, that's you and me and us, the broad span of human experience should be there so that the body of Christ can minister to the body of Christ and then to the wider world. Feeling overwhelmed by life, I believe, is not a judgment from God, but it's how we deal with these times, these seasons. That's the important thing. The psalmist is sitting reflecting that they feel overwhelmed by the world. Their joys have gone dark. A veil has been drawn over them. And they get no relief from this. Even the world seems to mock them. They think back. They remember the times when they were at the front of the queue, front of the line of those heading off to worship, joy-filled and praising. And that memory is bittersweet. It reminds them of the rejoicing that now seems so far from them. Their heart is as dried up as the desert sands that even their tears cannot revive them. I don't know if you've experienced a season like that in your faith, but I know I have. Overwhelmed by everything, and the joy of life and faith is desiccated and becomes like dust. This was in a season before going into ministry, when life was so busy, too busy, running faster and faster, wasn't helping. And the clouds were gathering and the gloom descended. I yearned for the times when simple worship fueled and fired me. But it seemed that that fire was long, long cold. You feel as if you've let God down. And somehow all the world will see it and they will mock you. Oh, where's your God now? Where's your faith now? Hey, look at you now. You're just like us. Truth is, it was always just like them. But it makes you feel worse. You feel abandoned, forgotten by God. Some get to this point in their lives and find it just simply easier to walk away, leave the things of faith behind. Obviously, it didn't work. It didn't work for me, so I'm just going to give up. And they try and find solace in something else. They try and forget. But the echoes, I think, always remain and become a source of bitterness. Perhaps that explains why people who were formerly heavily involved in church lives, who go away, can be so embittered, so judgmental about people of faith. They carry that tang, that sting from who knows what. When we are lost in wonder, love, and praise, as one hymn writer puts it, we become acutely aware that we are connected to God, and that when that is severed, nothing else comes close. Our singer has that same choice, that same option. And what is his plea? Send your light and your truth to me. Let them guide me. He doesn't want to walk away. He doesn't want to hide. He wants to come out of the shadow, from under the cloud, and be bathed in God's light, and let them guide him. So where do we go for that light? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our first turning place should be, must be, to him. Not to old habits, but to the source of our life and living. And in so doing, bring us to the very place of God's dwelling in us. It brings our attention back to God and lets us refocus on him. Focus my eyes on you, O Lord. Focus my eyes on you, to worship in spirit and in truth. Focus my eyes on you. From that place, we can return to worship. Not to add to it, almost. Not to even give it, but to be bathed by it. To let it flow through us until we feel our heart revived and respond, until we can then flow with that worship and praise, until we can fill up my heart with praise, O God, fill up my heart with praise, to speak of your love in every place, fill up my heart with praise. From a place of darkness to a place of light. The Spirit teaches us how to pray when our words dry up, when our tongue sticks to the roof of our mouth and we just frown in anguish. And I think too that the Spirit teaches us how to worship God, quite literally in spirit and in truth. And doing this when we don't feel like it, don't feel able, is an act of faith and an act of hope. A hope that the singer has that they will be restored and find their voice of worship once again in their Savior and their God. There's no indication in the psalm of how long this is going to take place, how long this will take, or how much of a struggle it will be. No promise that it will pass quickly like the morning mist in the heat of the noonday. We don't know how long such a season will visit us. Yet, if we hold firm to our hope in Christ, we will come through it. He will lead us through it if we just take his hand. What can help us get through such times as this? Look around you. Look around you at your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you, to pray with you. That's why we're here. To help carry the burdens that life can often load upon us. For me, I had to learn to put things down. All the extraneous stuff, and just carry the important things. And to understand that these things can change. So you need to put something else down to pick something else up. We don't just always have to carry more, but that seems to be the message the world pushes on us. The seasons of dark days, the seasons under the cloud Grant to us an opportunity to reflect on our lives of faith and to check, am I doing what God is asking me to do? Am I missing a calling to a new thing? Am I missing the invitation to put something down? And perhaps in that season of clouds is one in which we learn the deeper truth of God's presence within each of us. And having experienced it, we can encourage others going through the same to keep going. God is with you. God is holding your hand. Do not be afraid and do not despair. Perhaps it's an opportunity simply to bear witness to the God who walks with us through the mud and through the muck of life. And when it gets too hard and too deep, will carry us and set us on solid ground again. So if you find yourself in a dark day, a dark season, don't blame yourself. Don't blame others. The blame game doesn't help. Refocus, recenter your life on Him and allow the guide, the promised sojourner, the Spirit to walk with you, to lead you back into the sunshine. And once you're back in the light, then the why and the what of the season of dark days can become clearer. And we grow and we are stronger. If you're in a dark place today, if this is a dark season, may God renew and fuel your hope. And don't carry that burden alone. Your brothers and sisters around you are there to walk with you too. Life is not a solo experiment. It's a community activity. And our community is the Church of Christ. I leave that with you. Can we pray for a moment? Father God, wherever we are in our lives, whether we are sitting in the sunshine or under a cloud, grant us the deep assurance that you are with us, that you will never leave us. And no matter what we face, in you we shall come through, we shall overcome, and we shall rejoice with the angels as we lift our voice in praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.